Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
When Jesus comes, Revelation 21, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All things are passed away. There's a new pristine beginning in all of creation. That when the kingdom that is not yet becomes reality forever, forever, and forever. And then you could say, well, how can I know that I'm in the kingdom? How do you know right now if you're a kingdom man or you're a kingdom woman? If I just pick somebody out here and say, bang, let's check on your residency in the kingdom of God, would there be ample proof to say, yes, that person is in the kingdom? See, Jesus says the kingdom is in here, the kingdom is out there.
The truth is, you are part of a magnificent kingdom that will never end. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Kingdom of God, and digs into Scripture to share proven truths about what your citizenship in God's kingdom means for your life today. That's coming up in just a moment. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Kingdom of God.
It's amazing when you stop someone on the street and ask them about the future. It becomes very subjective. My opinion, I think, I hope, I believe, and it sort of moves into squirrelism. Have you noticed that? There's no real confidence. There's no real content. There's nothing to base that good, warm feeling on. It's like the Broadway musical Camelot. There's some idealistic kingdom somewhere back in folklore time where there was a King Arthur around the round table, and he had Guinevere, and he had his knights, and everything was perfect because there was power and there was peace and there was pure relationships in the kingdom. And we know that is a dream. It is not a reality. Perhaps you recall when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. His wife Jacqueline said, talking about the years in the White House and how Kennedy loved the Broadway musical Camelot, she said, never let it be forgot that there was a spot that for one shining moment was called Camelot. The only problem with that, we know that was not Camelot, and there has never been a Camelot, but yet we go on with this dream, with this idea of some sort of utopia. It's been tried in many, many situations. People start a commune, a community, a cult, and they set all the principles down, and we're going to live on the basis of this. You have some supreme leader usually in charge, making sure everybody toes the line. Isn't it wonderful that we, as members of the family of God, don't have to engage in this kind of speculation, this kind of questioning, this kind of I hope, and maybe, perhaps, I wish. We have the blessed assurance of how this whole thing is going to turn out. You ask Jesus, what was the central message of your life? He would say, I came to bring in, to pronounce, to preach, to put in practice the kingdom of God. But I dare say I could just walk around this place and pull anybody out of the crowd and say, if the kingdom of God is central in the teaching of Jesus, what is the kingdom of God? What is it? Well, for your information, as you read the New Testament, just the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 85 times. And by the way, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same. So I have seen a lot of theologians who said, well, they use the kingdom of heaven in this context and they use the kingdom of God in that context. That's not true. They're interchangeable. You remember the pious Jew would not pronounce the name of God. He was afraid he would take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So he substituted words. The fancy word is circumlocution. In other words, you take the name of God, you dare not pronounce it, so they put heaven in its place. So kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, the same thing in the scripture. Now, what did Jesus say about this kingdom? And we're familiar with the passage. I'll read it to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." Not only did Jesus come announcing the arrival of the kingdom, but he said, of highest priority. In other words, the thing that should be first in the mind of everyone who is a Jesus follower is the kingdom, is the kingdom, is the kingdom. As we discover how we can be confident that we are in the kingdom, let's pray before we begin our study. Our Heavenly Father, a lot of us are like the people on the street. We get pinned down, or we're asked a question, we sort of stutter and stammer and back up and really do not understand utopia, heaven, your kingdom. Lord, give us insight today. And may every one of us be confident as we leave this place of worship that we are indeed in the kingdom, of the kingdom. Lord, you speak. Let me get out of the way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting thing. Little bit difficult to understand until you get it. And I don't want anybody to leave here until you and I get it. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of God is here. It's already here. You read in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus says, "Time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." What's he saying? The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is here. With the coming of Jesus, the kingdom was here. So in one sense, the kingdom of God is, say it with me,
here.
More than 12 of you. The kingdom of God is
here.
Right. Also, the Bible teaches that the kingdom of God is not yet. Isn't that interesting? The kingdom of God is here, yet the kingdom of God is not yet. And you see it in many passages. I picked out familiar ones. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. That's not yet, isn't it? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is the will of God being done on earth as the will of God is being accomplished in heaven? No. So the kingdom of God is not yet. Say that. The kingdom of God is
not yet.
Now, as we're teaching today, I'm going to say periodically, the kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of God is not yet. And I want you to supply the here and the not yet, so you have to be alert. The kingdom of God is
here.
The kingdom of God is
not yet.
Now, before we give a clear definition of the kingdom, let's discover what the kingdom of God is not. The kingdom of God is not something that God has built for us. You know that? The kingdom is not something God has built for us. Somebody says, "Well, I want to be a part of the kingdom of God because God has built the kingdom." The kingdom of God is not built for us. The kingdom of God is vertical. It's this way. It's not built for me and not built for you. The kingdom of God is this way. So God didn't build the kingdom for us. This was a temptation, I believe, of the devil when Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights after his baptism. He went in the wilderness. Satan tempted him three different ways. Now understand something, ladies and gentlemen. Satan tempts you and tempts me at the point of God's purpose for your life and the point of God's purpose for my life. Did you get that? In other words, everybody here has a purpose. Everybody here has a plan of God. If we get in on it, and where Satan brings us down is at the point of purpose. What was the purpose of the life of Jesus? His purpose was to bring the kingdom of God into history. Fulfillment of prophecy. That was his purpose, to bring the kingdom in. And Satan says, hey, you're the Messiah. You have come here to establish your kingdom on this earth. Let me tell you the way to do it. Turn the stone into bread. That was a temptation to feed everybody. Supply everybody's needs and everybody wants. I could build a big following if I stood here and said, let me tell you, I'm going to supply everything you need and everything you'll ever want. Come follow me. I'd get a big crowd, wouldn't I? You would too. That was a temptation. Jesus quoted scripture and said, no, that's not the kingdom. That's not the kind of kingdom I'm going to establish. And then Satan said, well, jump off the pinnacle of the temple and everybody will see you. Hundreds will see you. And they'll say, ooh, what a feat. He's a miracle worker. He's a Superman. And he could keep performing feats and entertain and draw a large crowd around a whole culture of hedonism. Let's just party 24/7. Let's do big, wonderful, marvelous things. I could build a big following. You could build a big following. We could perform miracles and put on a spectacular supersonic circus olay like that. You know, wherever we'd go, man, that would build a following, wouldn't it? We'd almost follow somebody like that who would keep entertainment going. Jesus said no and quoted scripture. And then Satan said, well, if you want to establish a kingdom, establish a political kingdom where you can reign over all the earth with power and might. A military kingdom. That's the kind of kingdom. Then you'll be in control. And Jesus said, no, that's not my kingdom. So see, the idea is that God is building a kingdom for us. Jesus rejected that. Also, the kingdom of God is not the idea that we build the kingdom for God. A lot of Christians have been confused here. We're supposed to build God's kingdom on this earth. We're kingdom folks. First 300 years, the early church, the church was persecuted. And then Constantine came to the throne. He had that vision. And then he just said, Christianity is the established religion of all the universe. All the other deities and goddesses and all the other, or they're disenfranchised. Christianity is the faith in which we'll follow. And the Christian must have said, the kingdom of God has come. See? The kingdom of God has come. But the kingdom of God did not come, did it? No. Even though Christianity was legitimized by the political powers of that hour. This has gone all the way through Christian history. John Calvin, probably one of the greatest scholars of all Protestantism, he had the idea that in Geneva, he would set up the kingdom of God and he would build a theocracy. Legalism, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. He said, I am bringing the kingdom of God to pass in Geneva, Switzerland. It was an inglorious tragedy. Though it sounds good. Everybody keep all the Ten Commandments and dot every I and cross every T. It was a tragedy. Even in more recent years, There's a Christian magazine called The Christian Century. It was written with the idea that the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century, that the kingdom of God would become America. And some of us still believe that. We think if America falls, there's no hope for the kingdom. Let me tell you something. There are five times more Christians in the third world than there are in the Western world today. Did you know that? The kingdom of God isn't the United States of America. And people thought that for a long time. The Christian Century, a magazine written, this the 20th century would be the Christian century. It was not. The idea that we are to build the kingdom for God, or the idea that God is going to build the kingdom for us, that's not a proper view or understanding of the kingdom. We know the Bible says, follow me, the kingdom is good. Now, how do we know that? We look at the scripture and we see there that the kingdom is here based on the fact of signs. Signs of the kingdom. John the Baptist in prison sent word, asked Jesus, is he the Messiah? Is he the one who's going to establish this kingdom? And Jesus sent word to John and said, John, you tell John, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the dead are being resurrected, and the gospel is being preached to the poor. What did Jesus say? He said, here is these signs of the kingdom. Every time Jesus went around in a hospital, he emptied all the beds. He went to a funeral, and the funeral was destroyed because no one was dead. And he began to give the good news of what God has done for man in Jesus Christ. Is that a big enough sign for you, John, to understand the kingdom is also, there are similes of the kingdom. Remember the word simile? I haven't thought of that word in a long time. It's those metaphors that you have. Look at Matthew chapter 13. In the Bible, there are over 40 different parables. Parables. And a parable is a story that Jesus would tell, and he would lay it alongside something so the people understand. It is a simile. He says the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like, and he lists all the different things the kingdom of God is like. What is a parable? What does it mean it is like? It's a little snapshot. Boop. Boop. If I were going to take a picture of this worship gathering here, I may not could get it all in one picture. I would say, this is a part of the worship. Boop. Here's the other part of the worship. Boop. Here's the orchestra. Boop. And you would. And that's what Jesus did. He gave these little snapshots so we could understand the different nature of the kingdom, all the different aspects of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is
here.
That's exactly right. And look at some of the snapshots. One in 13, he talks about the soil, the parable of the soil. And he said the seed. The seed is the word of God. The seed is Jesus Christ that's being planted. By the way, you know that's my job. I'm a farmer. That's what I'm called to. I'm called to scatter seed. That's all I do. Did you notice that? I just throw seed out. I just scatter seed. What is that seed? It's supposed to be the truth of God. That's what we're all called to do in the gospel. We are to scatter seed. We're to scatter seed of the truth of God. You say, well, I'm doing it by my life. And some of us have used and have heard someone say, preach the gospel if you have to use words. Now that sounds good, but it's not accurate. The background of that is, well, I'm preaching the gospel because I'm living a good moral life and you be like I am. Oh no, the gospel has words. It has content. It calls for a commitment. It revolves around the creation and the fall and the redemption and the resolution of man. Oh, it moves on through. So the gospel has content. And so we are to be proclaimers of this gospel. And a part of it, that's what Jesus did in announcing what the kingdom was like. He said it was like soil. In a field in the day of Jesus, they would have a path that would divide one field from another field. And in this path, people would walk there and the dirt would be beaten and it would be hard as cement. So when the seed would be planted there, it wouldn't grow up. And he explains that. He said, that's a lot of people. Do you meet people and you talk about God and Christ and a new life and the joy that he gives, how he'll clean up their act and give them a fresh new beginning? And they just say, yeah, I don't get that. You see, we can become so hard and so cold that the truth of God, touched even by the Holy Spirit, there's rejection. Jesus said some will respond like that soil to the truth, to the message of the kingdom. He said others, there will be a different kind of soil, and they would have a rock, and over that rock would be a little thin layer of soil, and seed would have that, and that thin layer would be very rich, and the seed would begin to grow, but had no depth. It couldn't get through the rock, and it would die. We see people all like that in the church. You know, they come down and they accept Christ. They have a wonderful beginning. Well, their life is turned around. They have freedom, but about 3 months later, we say, what happened to Billy Bob? Have y'all seen him around lately? You know, well, what happened to him? Well, you know, he was so excited about the things of God, and he still comes, but he sits way in the side and has his head down. And see what happened? He was like that thin soil, the seed of God's truth. Boy, it touched a spark in his life, but he doesn't stick around and grow and let the roots go down where he could flourish. Also, he said, the seed is like soil that's full of briars, it's full of weeds, it's full of other things. That's the reason Jesus said it's so difficult for a rich person to go to heaven. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, but God can do it. Why is that? Because our lives are so cluttered, every one of us. We're going and we're texting and we're emailing and we're answering an appointment, and you ask somebody, how you doing? Well, I've never been this busy in my life. And what we're saying is, I've never been so important in any other point in my life. You know, we're going. That's the reason it's so hard to let Christ grow and deepen in our life. We're encumbered. We have so many worldly things going on. He said soil like that, that Christian never does grow. But he said then there's rich soil. Oh, that's when the seed is there, the truth of God in Christ, and someone begins to grow up. Then they talk about how little the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seed. We know it's not the smallest of seeds. In fact, the cypress seed in that day was smaller than mustard seed, but it was a proverbial statement, a proverb, as small as a mustard seed. He said that mustard seed is planted, and it grows and it grows and grows, a little thing, and becomes like a tree that birds can land in it. A small mustard seed. Have you ever noticed how small things begin and sometimes how big they end up? All the music that has ever been written all over the world begins with an octave, 8 notes. That's it. All the magnificent music of our choir and orchestra, 8 little notes in the octave, and look what puts together in all the wonderful harmony of the world. 8 little notes. Everything that's been written in literature, everything that's been written down in English comes from 26 little letters. That's all, just 26 letters. Little things. Mustard seeds grow and become, that's like the kingdom. And Jesus said someone was plowing a field and boop, they hit something. And what is that? And he gets down and digs it up. It's a treasure. And the man didn't expect that. It was unexpected. The kingdom was on him in the metaphor that is used here. And he went and sold everything he had to possess that treasure. Unexpected, it hit him. Or here's someone who Jesus says the kingdom is like a pearl that someone found, the most beautiful pearl in the world of great price, and he sold everything he had to possess that pearl. That's the kingdom. We give up everything to possess the kingdom of God, and he gives it to us in Jesus Christ. See it? See it? And then you could say, well, how can I know that I'm in the kingdom? How do you know right now if you're a kingdom man or you're a kingdom woman? If I would just pull you out and say, well, let's just check. How can we tell? If the kingdom is here, well, it ought to be here in your life and in my life as a believer. How can you tell? For many, many years, there was no clear boundary between Laos and Vietnam. These two countries, side by side, before the colonialists came in and drew a border line there, there was no boundary. Therefore, the king of Vietnam, he would go, he didn't know who to tax. He didn't know who were citizens of Vietnam or they were citizens of Laos. And the same thing the king of Laos would say, you know, I don't know who to tax. So they came to an agreement. And they said, look, if you find a family and they eat long grain rice and their house is on stilts, and they have the symbolism in their house of serpents, like in India, those are citizens of Laos. He said, by the same token, if you found a family and they eat short grain rice and their house is on the ground and they have symbols on their wall, dragons like the Chinese, then they are Vietnamese. And so they agreed to distinguish by their environment and their culture who they belong to, what kingdom they gave allegiance to. If I just pick somebody out here and say, bang, let's check on your residency in the kingdom of God, would there be ample proof to say, yes, that person is in the kingdom? See, Jesus says the kingdom is in here, the kingdom is out there. Jesus says, be careful, he says the kingdom is
here.
He says the kingdom is
here.
And he says the kingdom is
not
here. In other words, the kingdom will come when Jesus comes and bring down the curtain of history, or when a Christian dies and goes home to be with the Lord. When Jesus comes, Revelation 21, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All things have passed away. There's a new pristine beginning in all of creation, that when the kingdom that is not yet becomes reality forever, forever, and forever. Let me show you what we believe. Principles, look on your screen, that we believe. Listen, listen carefully. First, we believe that God is the creator of the world and the Lord of history. How many people believe that? Lift your hand. Be careful. Good. Second, we believe that God, through his providence, has acted within history and continues to do so. How many believe that? Be careful. Listen carefully. Third, we believe that Jesus Christ stands at the midpoint of history, giving meaning to all that preceded and meaning and direction to all that follows. How many believe that? Absolutely. Fourth, we believe that in Jesus Christ, a new age has dawned in human history. Fifth, we believe that history under the guidance of God is moving toward a goal in the future. How many believe that? Sixth, that goal is the consummation of history in the kingdom of God. How many believe that? You see, we've got it. We begin to understand the kingdom is now where God's will is being done. The kingdom is now when Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is Lord, there's obedience in your life and my life. And that obedience isn't tough. Man, a while back, I was trying to park my car, and I saw a place right up front, and I said, how lucky, and I turned in there, and there was a sign. That sign says, reserve, no parking. This means you. You know, I got that. So I backed out. Was that tough? Was my rights infringed upon? My freedom as an American? No. See, that was that's the principle there. That's person's property. They reserved it for whomever, whatever. That's great. That's fine. See, if Jesus is Lord of your life, living up to the principles of Christian living is what we are to do. And then we're able to worship. He is Lord. I'm seeking to follow his principles. When I don't, I confess and I repent and I receive forgiveness, and then I'm able to worship. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is
here.
And the kingdom of God is
not
here. A lady loved the Lord. She memorizes scripture. All of her life, she memorized scripture over and over, verse after verse, line after line. Had a phenomenal giftedness in this area. And her favorite verse was 2 Timothy 1:12. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And when she was ill in the last half of her life, her family and friends would go and say, what is your scripture? And she'd say, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What would she say? She'd say, Jesus Christ is able to take her life, which he has committed unto him, that whatever happens, that she was in the kingdom. Here or in the not yet kingdom, she had total confidence. And so as she got sicker, she began to forget some of those words. And she finally had on the words, committed unto him. They'd say, Mom, quote your passage. She'd say, committed unto him. Then as she got a little sicker, they would say, Mom, quote your passage. She would say, unto him. And finally, in the last days of her life, they'd say, Mom, quote your passage. And she would say, him, him, him. You see, the kingdom of God is here for her, and the kingdom of God is not yet for her, and it's all about him. Now, that's a profound moment. We see, we understand the graduation of this life, where we're seeking to do God's will and let him be Lord of our lives. And when we go to the next life, when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God forever and ever, we understand earth and heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We understand that. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God just slips up on us. Surprise! It appears in strange places. In strange settings. I want you to look at what happened in our state this week in our state in a basketball game. What's the surprise appearance of the kingdom?
And I know you guys get tired of me. It's little things.
Coach Peter Morales of the Coronado High School Thunderbirds in El Paso, Texas, makes no qualms about it. Okay. He has a favorite on this team.
Mitchell, I need you. I need you to help me out with my coaching tits, Mitchell.
Team manager Mitchell Marcus has a developmental disability.
One, two, three.
And he far surpasses everyone here when it comes to love of the game.
He's this amazing person that our basketball team loves being around.
Yay!
Mitchell's mom, Amy, says he's always been that way.
Mitchell always had a basketball. That was always what he wanted for his birthday.
And because basketball is that important to him, on the last game of the regular season, the coach told Mitchell to suit up.
What was it like to put on the uniform?
I was very happy.
I imagine you were.
Just wearing a jersey was enough for Mitchell. But what he didn't know, what no one knew at the time, was that the coach planned to play him at the end, no matter what the score.
You were prepared to lose that game?
For his moment, yes. For his moment in time, yes.
And so, with a minute and a half left, Coronado leading, but only by 10, Coach Morales put in his manager.
And just started hearing Mitchell, Mitchell,
Mitchell.
But here's where the fairy tale fell apart. Although his teammates did everything they could to get Mitchell a basket, each time they passed him the ball, he either missed the shot or, like on their last possession, booted it out of bounds, turning the ball over to the other team with just seconds left.
He wasn't going to be able to score. But I was hoping that he was happy that he was just put in the game.
Could you have ever imagined what happened next?
No, I did. I could not. Not at all.
What happened next happened on the inbound. The guy with the ball there is a senior at Franklin High School, number 22, Jonathan Montañez.
I was raised to treat others how you want to be treated. Just thought Mitchell deserved his chance, deserved his opportunity.
I think I'll cry about it for the rest of my life.
What Jonathan did was yell out Mitchell's name, then threw the ball right to it, right there. One of the most memorable turnovers of all time. It wasn't the game-winning shot. When the buzzer sounded, Coronado had 15 more points than Franklin. But Jonathan's assist and Mitchell's basket did change the outcome decidedly. Play any game with this much sportsmanship. Both teams win.
The kingdom of God is
here.
The kingdom of God is
here.
Don't miss it. In your life, in the lives of those who are kingdom folks who live around us.
That was Dr. Ed Young wrapping up the last message in his new End Time series, and it's great to have him in the studio today. Dr. Young, always good to see you. You talked today about some people who think a good moral life should speak for itself, that proclaiming the gospel can be done by merely living a Christ-like life. Share with us why you believe this is inaccurate.
Well, first of all, no one can genuinely live a Christ-like life unless Christ is in them and the Holy Spirit is working in their life. And we live lives. We say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, break me, mold me, shape me, fill me. And that gives us the ability to live that Christian life. It's not trying harder. It's not doing more. It is surrender, 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 which I've said many, many times. The question is, if a good moral life is going to make it, how moral do we have to be? On a scale of 1 to 10, well, if I'm a 4, is that enough? If 10 is perfection, what about 6? Or what about 8? The truth is that moral living will not get us to heaven. Moral living, we become legalists. We become under the law. What is the purpose of the law in the Scripture? It is the diagnostician. We read the Ten Commandments. We see the moral standards. We say, Lord, I failed. I struck out. I fumbled. I'm not measuring up. And we confess that. And it is by grace that we have to score a 10. And Jesus Christ is the only one who's ever lived and scored a 10. And therefore, we receive him. The Father looks on you and me, think about it, as if we're Christ, as if we're perfect. Because he doesn't see the old, he sees the new. See, we become family, sons and daughters of God in the sense that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's a magnificent truth that sort of overwhelms me. Christ looks at you and me in Christ. We are family, and therefore we can be confident of life now and life forever with him.
Dr. Young, how can we make God's kingdom come in our lives today?
You know, we pray that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The more we follow Christ, the more we seek his will, his purpose for our lives, the more his kingdom come. The kingdom is coming, but yet the kingdom is already here. Where is the kingdom of God? Well, it's in heaven. Well, it's in church. It's here. No, the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus Christ is king. There's the kingdom. When Jesus Christ is king and Lord of your life, there's the kingdom of God. And therefore, the kingdom is already here. The kingdom will come in fullness and completeness after we leave this earth. But we pray thy kingdom come primarily. It is in this life, when his will and his purpose for you and me are being lived out.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.